You're listening to Drive Time Sports on KOAL AM 750. The play-by-play home of the Emory Spartans.
We're less than 48 hours away from the college football playoff. We're down to the final four teams, and ultimately, I know we got some New Year's Day Six Bowls, but it just doesn't really spark my interest as much this year. I don't know what it is. I am, however, ready for the Final Four, and I do believe we have two games that are pretty clear-cut and dry, and at least who I'm picking, and we'll get into that in just a few moments. Nonetheless, it makes for some really fascinating matchups in Alabama and Notre Dame. I mean, a lot of name recognition. Same thing could be said for Clemson and Ohio State. Will the games live up to the marketing? We're going to talk about that more right now with our next guest, Antoine Staley of Athlon Sports, kind enough to join us throughout the entire year to talk college football. And now, less than 2 days away from the playoffs, he's joining us once again. Antoine, a pleasure as always. Thank you.
It's good to be with you again.
You and I had a conversation off the cuff, and this is, I guess, a great way to start this particular segment. We agree the rightful four teams are in the playoffs, so we can throw that, push that conversation aside. We agree. Top four teams are in the playoffs.
Yeah, absolutely. I think Notre Dame earned their way throughout the regular season. I know a lot of people thought that the way they played against Clemson in the ACC championship was they shouldn't have been there, but I thought just you can't discount what happened the first 10 or 11 weeks in the season. Because if you do that, then what's the whole point? That's kind of the way I view it. Like, what's the point of playing all those games in the first place? It's a resume. And then they built their resume. It didn't end the way they wanted to, but they still built their resume. And I think their resume was better than Texas A&M because they actually played in the conference game and A&M didn't.
Sure, correct. And Notre Dame did beat the number one team in the country. And I know Trevor Lawrence didn't play, but the fact of the matter is they did beat the number one team in the country. Let's start by talking Notre Dame and Alabama. Right now, I believe the spread is 17.5, if I'm not mistaken. I do believe Notre Dame can keep this game within two scores, but ultimately I will pick Alabama to win this contest. Too much talent on this team, on this Bama team offensively. But I will say this, the reason I think Notre Dame can stay within three scores is because this is a Notre Dame offense that loves to take chunks of change off the clock. If they convert third downs like they have through the majority of the season, they'll keep that Alabama offense off the field, and that's how you can keep it close. I don't believe Notre Dame can win a shootout with Alabama. Notre Dame has to control the clock. They have to limit the possessions that Alabama has, and if they do that, I think we could have a competitive game here.
Yeah, I think that's pretty much what it boils down to. Can they run the ball effectively? Can they avoid turnovers, unlike what happened in the Clemson game? Can they convert when they have the opportunities to? And, yeah, I think we talked about it off air that we just didn't feel like they did that against Clemson. They had their opportunities to stay in the game, but they didn't convert on the opportunities early. And then once you do that against a team like Clemson or Alabama in this case, then, yeah, you're going to lose. And you're going to lose handily. It's kind of like a snowball effect. Yeah, everything, one bad thing happens, and then it goes to two, and then it goes to, and then all of a sudden you just, yeah, it just like this huge, gigantic thing that you can't overcome. So, yeah, I think it's important for them to be able to take care of the football, be able to run the ball effectively, sort of what they did against Clemson the first time. And then, like you said, just kind of do some play action pass because this isn't a great Alabama defense. They're good, but as a team like Florida showed in the SEC championship, you are able to move the ball against them. So I definitely think that's kind of what they're going to have to do is just, like you said, play time control and be able to run the ball effectively. If they can do that and try to limit Alabama's possessions, then, yeah, I think they have a chance. I still like Alabama by double digits. I don't know if it's going to be by 17, but I do think Alabama is definitely the better team here in this matchup.
Yeah, I think the main problem, it's on the outside. I know Najee Harris is great. Notre Dame, they did struggle to contain the run against Clemson. I mean, Travis Etienne was good, and that was another element of surprise for me in the ACC title game, because Etienne, even going back to the playoff victory over Notre Dame, had not had a lot of success against Clark Lea and that rushing defense. Now you take a look at what Notre Dame has in Najee Harris, and I believe Harris will have an effective game, but for me it's Devontae Smith on the outside. I mean, this is the most explosive player in college football, and that's where Alabama is going to hold an edge. I just don't believe Notre Dame's secondary can contain what Bama has outside.
Yeah, it's this Alabama team, and granted, like they had injury, they could be even better than what they are. So it's like a creative team and NCAA football back in the day, where you just recruit so well that it just embarrassment among riches. I mean, that's how great their offense is. Okay, you try to take away the run, they got affect the receivers in the passing game. You try to take that away, then they can run the ball effectively, and they have a solid quarterback in Matt Jones. It's like trying to pick your poison. I don't know how you can stop this team. I don't know how anybody really stops this team, to be completely honest with you. They're just that deep. They're able to run the football. They're able to pass the ball effectively. And they have a solid offensive line, too. They really, at least on paper, they have no weaknesses offensively anyway. So, yeah, I think that's where it's really going to be challenging for Notre Dame. I know, like I say, Clemson played them really well, and I thought they were able to hold their own, but at times, at least in the first quarter. But, yeah, this team is just so strong, and it's going to be like no other offense I think they've seen all year.
Yeah, I mean, ultimately, Notre Dame's best defense is going to be their offense. You're going to have to rely on Kyren Williams. He broke the 100-yard mark, I think, six times this season. Notre Dame's got a very experienced offensive line. I know Coach Nick Saban talked about that earlier this week. That's where Notre Dame is going to have a chance to win this game. And I don't think it's really a coincidence, Antoine. If you go back to the Notre Dame victory over Clemson, Kyren Williams scored, I believe it was the second play from scrimmage, if memory serves me right. I mean, he was fantastic in that game, went for a 140 and three scores. That's Notre Dame's only chance in this game. I mean, we could talk about Ian Book. I know it's a kid with a lot of experience. He played with a lot of confidence at points and times in this season. Notre Dame's not going to slow Mac Jones. The only way to keep this game close is for Kyren Williams to have a big game. I think that's the only path to victory.
Yeah, that's what I said. Like, it's kind of the same formula they lose to beat Clemson the first time when they ran for 200 yards. Yeah, I think that's their formula to success, to try to maintain an advantage in this game. Without that, if they're not able to run the football, then yeah, I think it's going to be a really, really ugly pretty quickly. They have to, because I think Alabama wants Ian Book to sit back there and throw the football. I think that falls right into their hands, exactly what they kind of want him to do.
Final score in this game, what are you rolling with?
I'm going to 52-34.
Ooh, high scoring game. You know what, I'm going to go a little lower, just because Notre Dame's going to have to try to control the clock. I'm going to say 38-24, Bama.
Okay.
I think Notre Dame's got to limit their possessions. I just don't know that Notre Dame has the capability of doing this in the secondary. Let's move on. We'll talk Clemson, Ohio State, and I honestly believe that this game is going to have a bigger deficit, a bigger margin of victory than the Notre Dame-Bama game. I just don't see, based off what we've gotten to witness already, Ohio State's offense being limited by Northwestern, being limited at times by Indiana. You look across the board, there is NFL talent all over when we talk about this Clemson defense. I just don't think it's a good matchup for Ohio State. And I know right now the spread is 6.5, I think, by Clemson. I think Clemson covers this, and they cover it easily.
Yeah, I think what's going to hurt them is Ohio State, kind of the status of players are kind of unknown with Chris Olivier and also Baron Browning, two starting guys, the top receiver and the top linebacker, are kind of unknown because of the protocol situations with COVID. Without them, I definitely think it's going to be a challenge. I think even with them, it's going to be a challenge to try to slow down Clemson, whether offensively or defensively there. You saw Northwestern was able to put a good game plan there for 2.5 quarters or so to limit them defensively. I know Northwestern has a great defense, and they couldn't score worth a lick, but this is definitely a different Clemson, different Clemson team that that's a different animal, especially on the offensive side of the ball with Trevor Lawrence and Travis Etienne, and you can't make mistakes against them. It's not the same mistakes you made against Northwestern. So I definitely think you're going to get a really, really good effort for Ohio State, but it's kind of hard for me to go against Clemson just because I think when it's all said and done, they are the better team from top to bottom. But it wouldn't surprise me if Ohio State were to keep this close there, because I think they're talented too, and I think the time off might have helped them too as well to prepare a game plan for a Clemson team, which they actually know pretty well. They played last year in the playoffs, so I don't think it's really any secrets between any of these teams.
Yeah, just looking at what Justin Fields has done this year, when he's gone up against a stout defense. I mean, for instance, we can look at the win over Indiana. Okay, so they win 42-35, and he wasn't great in that game. I mean, he had three interceptions, if I remember correctly. And then you go to the Northwestern game, 12 of 27 for 114 yards and two more picks. I mean, he's been prone to turning the football over. And when you look at this Clemson defense, even though they have a couple of true freshmen starting on this defense, I mean, it's so talented front to back. It's unlike anything he has seen. And so I'm just using the sample size in the Northwestern Indiana game to say, okay, I think Fields will struggle in this contest.
Yeah, I think that's fair. Like you said, I think they're young in some areas. Talk about Clemson's defense, but yeah, this is. I don't think the Big Ten had any like bit talented defenses like this throughout the whole year. No, Northwestern's is great, but I think they're reason their defense plays so well is because they're well coached, not necessarily because they have a ton of talent on there. Although I won't discount all the talent that they have. They have really talented secondary, but I think from top to bottom, this is definitely as good of a defense he's going to face. That's what I think Clemson's defense is great. They've shown the ability to be able to move the ball against them. We've seen that against some teams there, Notre Dame, some other spots this year. But, yeah, I think when you talk about it, it's all said and done. I think Clemson is going to find ways to try to get him out of his rhythm. And if you don't have your top receiver potentially, I definitely think that's going to be even more of a detriment to their offense.
And I think we have to talk about this as well. And I mean, it's odd to talk about special teams, at least in this avenue, when you're talking about a playoff game. But Drew Crispin for Ohio State averages close to 50 yards per punt. And that's a factor in playoff games. Field position is that big. And I think when you have a punter of this status and you don't know if he's going to play or not, that plays a factor in a game too, especially when you're the underdog.
Yeah, everything does. Like every time special teams, whether you talk about field goal and punting, try to punt a team back and pin them in the shadow of their own end zone. And like you say, just talk about field position, because if a opposing team goes 3-and-out, let's say, Ohio State's able to pin Clemson back and they go 3-and-out, you get the ball back near midfield. I mean, that makes all of the world a difference. You're playing with a short field with maybe 50, 40 yards to go as opposed to 60, 70. And yeah, I mean, in a game like this, especially how close it could potentially be, yeah, I think it's a huge difference in the way, and it's also a huge difference the way you call plays too as well. So yeah, it doesn't really get talked about enough on special teams, but it's a big deal, and that's why you see these coaches going out recruiting the top punters and the top kickers, because every little bit helps, especially in close games like this.
Antoine, final score, Clemson, Ohio State, what do you got?
I'm going to go with Clemson 41, Ohio State 27.
Oh, okay. All right. I like the 41 score. I was thinking anywhere between 38 and 41. I see Lawrence throw for four scores in this game. I just don't think Ohio State musters up enough offense. I'm going to go 38-16. I'll take Clemson 38-16. I just don't see Ohio State effectively moving the football and putting points on the board. And then I think we get to a point where it becomes desperation, and that's what we saw in the ACC title game for Notre Dame. And when you become desperate against Clemson, well, that's when the spread continues to grow.
Yeah, you like the Clemson defense more than I do. I do too, but I just don't. I think it's maybe, just kind of the year that we've had. I don't think we necessarily have that really shut down defense like we've had in years past. And like I said, I think a part of that is because of COVID and the lack of practices and things like that that we've had. And it's just been a real wacky year, and tackling hasn't been great, and a lot of things haven't been great on the defensive side of the ball there too. But yeah, I definitely think Ohio State can. I think they can get past 20. Will they or not, I don't know. But I definitely think they can. They're good enough where they can score over 20 points. I don't think they're going to beat Clemson, but I definitely think they're talented enough where they could do that.
Yeah, and I want to piggyback off of what you just said a moment ago. You mentioned COVID and all the weird, wacky things we have seen this year. There's so much talk about Ohio State being at an advantage for only playing six games. And I buy that argument. I do. I buy what Dabo was saying and why he placed Ohio State out of his top 10. That's fine. However, when you look at the other three teams in the playoffs, Notre Dame, Clemson, Alabama, they all delivered stinkers at some point in time where they managed to come out on top. I mean, Clemson put together a rather shoddy performance against Boston College. They were lucky to come out of that game with a win. Notre Dame put up a shoddy performance against Louisville. They were lucky to come out of that game. When you look at the defensive numbers for Alabama at several times this year, be it Ole Miss, be it Texas A&M at times, they were very vulnerable. They had opportunities to work those kinks out. Only playing six games, you really don't have a lot of opportunity, because you can't simulate a game in practice. And so while many are viewing this as an advantage for Ohio State in a playoff scenario, I think it's a disadvantage.
Yeah, I think anytime you're able to play more games and get to know your team and personnel, that's always an advantage to me. I don't think playing less games, I mean, unless you're talking about injuries, I think that's probably the only thing there, and the little nits and pains that you may have as opposed to playing 12 games. I don't think it's an advantage at all, because Yeah, I mean, you still don't, you really don't know what a team is after a half of the season. That's essentially what they played. They played half of a year. So, I mean, could they be better than what they are? Yeah, I think they certainly could be. I think a lot of people projected them to be here at this point, which is why they were right in the top four or five before they even played a game. But also, I mean, going through that adversity and going through those ups and downs, and yeah, I think that is really beneficial to every single team, and I think you have to during the course of the season, because that's the only way you get to know your team and what you truly have. If you don't have that, and you don't play to have that experience of playing all those games, then you know it's hard, like you said, it's hard to simulate that throughout the course of a practice. You just can't. It's not realistic.
Again, Antoine Staley, our guest of Athlon Sports, talking college football. Antoine, I always enjoy the conversations. I know, just like myself, you're looking forward to Friday. We should have plenty to talk about next week as we gear up for the national championship, whoever it may be. I appreciate the time. And, of course, before I let you go, let the listeners know where they can find some of your college football previews that I'm sure you're handing out right now.
Yeah, you find me at Athlon Sports there. Also find me at Twitter, Antoine Staley, where we're just kind of breaking down the bowl games there and we also looked at the Florida Oklahoma game today, which is going to be tonight, which is it's definitely a lot of opt outs for Florida, so they're definitely going to have their hands full with that one.
Antoine, it's a pleasure as always. Thank you again for the time.
Yeah, no problem.
Let's pause for just a moment. We'll come back. We'll transition out of football. Let's talk baseball. San Diego Padres have definitely stolen the headlines over the last couple of days. What does that mean? And we'll also take a look at some of the big names still on the free agent market, including Trevor Bauer and DJ LeMahieu. That's coming up when we return right here on Drive Time Sports.